Unit 20.
Short conversations. In this section, you will hear 10 short conversations. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. Each conversation and question will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the four suggested answers marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer.
1. You still have an hour to wait, so relax.
Relax? How can I, when I'm so anxious about the interview?
What does the man mean?
2. Shall I put this equipment away now that you've finished with the lab work?
Not yet, please.
What will the man probably do?
3. Thanks a lot for offering to return these books to the library for me.
4 books? But I have 4 of my own to take back, too.
What does the man mean? 4. May I make a recommendation, sir? The clams with our special sauce are good. They're fresh from the ocean.
Thank you, but I don't care for shellfish.
Where did this conversation probably take place? 5. Do you want me to explain these problems before your exam?
What's the point? I don't understand a thing.
What does the man mean?
6. Should I get some more typing paper?
Please do. We've almost run out.
What will the man do now? 7. Do I have to take the test?
Do you want to pass the course?
What does the woman mean?
8. Mike sure got a big fish last weekend.
You're right. That fish was so huge that it was enough for all of us.
What does the man mean?
9. Do you have to leave already? It's only 9 o'clock.
I'm sorry, but I must. My parents are expecting me.
What does the woman mean? 10. Jane, have you met Doug Brown? I think he is going to your school.
Oh, that Doug? I've heard a lot about him. We've never actually been introduced.
Does Jane know Doug Brown? Spot dictation. In this section, you will hear one passage with some words missing. The passage will be read 3 times. First, you will hear it from the beginning to the end, just to get a general idea of it. Then, in the second reading, you will write down the missing words you hear in the corresponding space. You can check what you've written when the passage is read to you once again. What faces and confuses urban planners is the rapid population increase and the streams of hopeful migrants from the countryside. There have never been cities of 30 million people, let alone ones dependent on roads, sewer, and water supplies, barely adequate for urban areas a tenth that size. And the flood of new arrivals in swelling third world cities far overtakes the supply of jobs, particularly as modern industries put a premium on technology rather than manpower. So it will be virtually impossible to find permanent employment for 30 to 40% of the 1,000 million new city inhabitants expected by the year 2000.
Passage. Avoid the rush hour must be the slogan of large cities the world over. If it is, it's a slogan no one takes the least notice of. Twice a day, with predictable regularity, the pot boils over. Wherever you look, it's people, people, people. The trains which leave or arrive every few minutes are packed. An endless procession of human sardine tins. The streets are so crowded, there is hardly room to move on the pavements. The queues for buses reach astonishing proportions. It takes ages for a bus to get to you because the traffic on the roads has virtually come to a halt. Even when a bus does at last arrive, it's so full it can't take any more passengers. This whole crazy system of commuting stretches man's resources to the utmost. The smallest unforeseen event can bring about conditions of utter chaos. The extraordinary thing is not that people put up with these conditions, but that they actually choose them in preference for anything else. Large modern cities are too big to control. They impose their own living conditions on the people who inhabit them. City inhabitants are obliged by their environment to adopt a wholly unnatural way of life. They lose touch with the land and rhythm of nature. It is possible to live such an air-conditioned existence in a large city that you are barely conscious of the seasons. A few flowers in a public park, if you have time to visit it, may remind you that it is spring or summer. A few leaves sticking to the pavement may remind you that it is autumn. Beyond that, what is going on in nature seems totally irrelevant. All the simple good things of life, like sunshine and fresh air, are at a premium. Tall buildings block out the sun. Traffic fumes pollute the atmosphere. Even the distinction between day and night is lost. The flow of traffic goes unceasingly, and the noise never stops. The funny thing about it all is that you pay dearly for the privilege of living in a city. The demand for accommodation is so great that it is often impossible for ordinary people to buy a house of their own. Exorbitant rents must be paid for tiny flats which even country hens would refuse to live in. Accommodation apart, the cost of living is very high. Just about everything you buy is likely to be more expensive than it would be in the country. In addition to all this, city inhabitants live under constant threat. The crime rate in most cities is very high. Houses are broken in with alarming frequency. Cities breed crime and violence, and are full of places you would be afraid to visit at night. If you think about it, they're not really fit to live in at all. Can anyone really doubt that the country is what man was born for and where he truly belongs? Questions. 1. Why is a big city compared to a pot which boils over? 2. According to the author, how can city inhabitants sense the change of the seasons? 3. What are the two main kinds of pollution in big cities mentioned in the passage? 4. What do you learn about the rents in big cities? 5. What do you think is the best title for this passage?
Story. The ladies' club always had a meeting Friday afternoon, and someone came to talk to them about important things. After that, they had tea and asked questions. One Friday, a gentleman came and talked to the club about food. "There is not enough food in the world for everybody," he said. "More than half the people in the world are hungry. And when they get more food, they have more babies. So they never stop being hungry. Somewhere in the world, a woman is having a baby every minute, day and night. What are we going to do about it?" He waited for a few seconds before he continued. But before he began to speak again, one of the ladies said, "Well, why don't we find that woman and stop her?"